I'm Brandi Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. Welcome to Politics Unpacked on this 11th week of the legislative session. A lot going on this week, a lot of it having to do with taxation and the budget, including the transportation budget. We'll get to all of that, but the week started off with a hearing on a controversial bill to require a permit to purchase a firearm. The bill is House Bill 1163. Thousands of people signed in opposed to the bill. Here's a little bit of that testimony.
We would not be having this hearing if it were about a fee to post on social media, to vote for a jury of your peers, or reproductive health access. The Second Amendment limits the government's ability to infringe on an individual's right, your right to keep and bear arms, whether you choose to exercise that right or not. 1163 presents a chicken and the egg problem. In order to obtain a firearm, you need a permit. To obtain a permit, you need to already have a firearm, because to pass live fire training with a firearm to get the permit, this bill will effectively end first-time firearm ownership.
Among those testifying in favor of the bill was the state's new Attorney General, Nick Brown. He seems to be kind of following in the footsteps of former Attorney General Bob Ferguson, who made gun control one of his big legislative priorities when he was AG. This is the first time that Nick Brown has testified as AG before a legislative committee.
I chose this bill to make the first time that I testified because I believe that this bill is a measure that will save lives. Let me say that again. When the legislature passes this bill, it will save lives in Washington state. On average, 935 people are killed by firearm violence in Washington each year. That is double the gun death rates per capita of New Jersey and triple the rate of Massachusetts. We are not doing enough currently to protect people. Washington has already introduced components of a robust permitting system. House Bill 1163 would build on that progress by adding new pieces, including a permitting component with safety training, along with the existing required background checks. This process makes meaningful use of the time between purchase decision and when a gun is used in a person's hand. The interval can provide a cooling off period for those with intent on self-harm or violence towards others.
Now, there's always a question with these gun control bills about whether they will stand up to a legal challenge, which will most certainly follow if HB 1163 is passed into law. William Kirk is a Second Amendment advocate, and he runs Washington Gun Law.
If we're going to rely on the state Supreme Court and things like that, no, it will not be struck down at all. Is there a possibility that we're going to begin to see a lot more of this type of litigation on a federal level? Yes, I do believe this is one of the next battlefronts in the Second Amendment battle, if you would. And so I think perhaps the Supreme Court could weigh in on that, but that's going to be a ways down the road. So I think this is going to be a reality for everyone in Washington state, just like it is for everyone in Oregon right now as well.
Also getting a hearing this week on the House side is Senate Bill 5181. Now, this is the Senate version of the bill to amend the Parental Bill of Rights that was passed via the initiative process last year.
It protects the health privacy of students. It aligns definitions of health records for consistency, and it protects student rights that are given to them already under protecting laws, and really clarifies the difference between medical record and a student record as well. I believe 5181 addresses the things we were looking for, and I appreciate you hearing the bill today.
Now, the bill had been waiting for quite a while to get a hearing on the House side after it had been passed out of the Senate. Speaking in opposition during the House hearing was Tim Iman, who, of course, has run a lot of initiatives in the state of Washington. And he says the way that Democrats are going about amending the Parental Bill of Rights is a slap in the face to democracy.
What I'm going to talk about is the emergency clause that is slapped on this bill. Removing the parents' rights is not an emergency. Mount St. Helens blowing its top, that's an emergency. But negating a constitutional right, the right to referendum, is not an emergency. The sole motive for this emergency clause is to take away that right and force the citizens to have to do a citizen initiative instead of a referendum, which requires twice as many signatures. If you were confident that you were doing what the voters wanted, you wouldn't be fighting so hard to prevent the people from voting on it in the first place. What we've seen over and over again is this attempt, 20% of the bills have an emergency clause slapped on them. You do that in order to stop the people from having a chance to exercise a constitutional right, and you do it all the time. Out of 500 bills you pass every legislative session, about 100 of them you declare as an emergency. I question the motives behind this emergency clause, and I question motives when your motives are questionable. This is not even questionable.
Please do not impugn motives. Questioning our motives is also impugning.
I question the motive of the emergency clause itself. The emergency clause, it has motivated behind it to prevent the citizens from exercising a constitutional right. And if you thought you were doing the right thing, you would allow the system to go forward. Instead, the voters qualify their initiative, then you pass it for the sole purpose of being able to gut it the following session.
Another big story this week is the transportation budget and the proposal to add to the gas tax that would be on top of the 49.4 cent fuel tax that's in place right now and on top of the increased cost of gasoline that is a result of the Climate Commitment Act. Senator Marco Elias, a Democrat, is in charge of the transportation budget for the Democrats.
It's focused on a couple of core principles. The first is keeping the promises we've made to Washingtonians over the last few years in investment packages, focusing on preservation and maintenance of our existing transportation system, and then focusing on the traffic safety crisis that we're still seeing play out on Washington roads. When Senator King and I started our work in January, we tried to focus first on what could we do with the resources that were in the transportation system and how far would those dollars take us. After a few weeks, it became clear that the resources in transportation are inadequate to meet the needs of Washingtonians. If we were to use our existing resources alone, it would mean significant delays to projects all over the state. It would mean suspending workforce development initiatives at ferries and state patrol, and it would mean inadequate transportation system for Washingtonians.
Now, the proposal to increase the gas tax actually does have bipartisan support. Republican State Senator Curtis King, who has been working with Senator Elias on the transportation budget, says the reality is that state law really limits where they can get funding for transportation projects.
Why do we have to increase the gas tax? It's because that's how we fund and have funded transportation for the last 100 years. And so when you say, and here's what we're going to do it, because gas tax money is protected by, I believe it's the 18th Amendment, which says it can only be used for roads, bridges, and highways, which is where our biggest needs are coming from. And so that's why I was willing to look at a gas tax, why I was willing to support a gas tax. It's 6 cents. It's you know, that's substantial, but it isn't, in my opinion, overwhelming.
Now, that doesn't change the fact that a lot of Washingtonians are feeling overtaxed, especially when you consider that this proposed increase in the gas tax is already on top of proposed increases to property taxes, business taxes, and a massive wealth tax that Democrats in the state Senate introduced last week. So Democratic lawmakers were asked about whether they are taxing the joy out of Washingtonians with all these proposals. Here's State Representative April Berg.
People find joy in having a well-funded public school. They find joy in having services at the local county and city levels that work, having infrastructure, like Senator Lee has pointed out, that is moving them from point A to point B. They find joy in having available health care.
One more big story this week in Olympia was a change in Senate rules that restricts where reporters can be while they're reporting on the state legislature. This was introduced by State Senator Monica Dingro.
There was a recent rule change made by the Capitol Correspondents Association where they will no longer be credentialing press. As such, this responsibility now lies with the legislature. And so now we're going to be having a self-attestation process where people can self-identify as press. We want to make sure that we continue to ensure that all press have access to the floor and to the legislators. We all have a shared goal in preserving openness and transparency in state government. This resolution does not change or limit any of the access the Olympia Press Corps currently has in the Senate chamber, wings, or gallery.
Now, while Senator Dingra said during her remarks that the new rule change won't add any additional restrictions for press access, that's not really true. The two-page Senate Resolution 8638 prohibits reporters from being in the wings of the Senate, an area where they have long been allowed to gather information, conduct interviews. Republican State Senator Jeff Wilson spoke in opposition to the rule change, saying it really shouldn't be the job of politicians to limit where reporters can do their jobs.
To be selective, I can understand that. But to control who gets to talk to when, who, and how, I'm going to rise, Mr. President, and urge that we don't adopt this resolution for those reasons.
That new rule change did pass on a voice vote. That has been Politics Unpacked for this 11th week of the legislative session. I'm Brandi Cruz. Have a fantastic weekend. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by Future 42, making Washington a place for all to prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. And in the meantime, join us 4 days a week for our live show, Undivided, where we give context and have important conversations about what's happening in Washington State and beyond. UndividedPod.com. That's UndividedPod.com.